His glories or reputation. Translation. To show causeless mercy to the devotees who would take birth in the future in this age of Kali. That's us, really. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be freed from all the lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. And Srila Prabhupada is so enthusiastic about this verse that he added something in brackets. It's very unusual, but he didn't put it in the purport. He wanted to make sure that everyone would really understand this verse and already put it in the verse. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pains of material existence. Purport. The Lord activities of saving the devotees and killing the demons take place side by side. Krishna actually appears for the deliverance of the sadhus or bhaktas, but by killing the demons, he shows them mercy also. For anyone killed by Krishna is liberated. Whether the Lord kills or gives protection, he is kind to both the demons and devotees. Let us please read the next verse also, because it is very much applicable to this, today's celebrations. Yasmin satkarma piyushe yashashtir tavare sakrit shrotranjali rupashprishya dunote karma vasanam. Translation. Simply by receiving the glories of the Lord through purified transcendental ears, the devotees of the Lord are immediately freed from strong material desires and engagement in fruitive activities. Purport. When the devotees orally receive the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as enacted in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, they immediately achieve a transcendental vision in which they are no longer interested in materialistic activities. Have you also experienced this when you read in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam? Then the vision changes and one is no longer interested really in materialistic activities. Thus, they achieve freedom from the material world. For sense gratification, practically everyone is engaged in materialistic activities, which prolong the process of janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, birth, death, old age and disease. But the devotee, simply by hearing the message of Bhagavad Gita and further relishing the narrations of Srimad Bhagavatam, becomes so pure that he no longer takes interest in materialistic activities. At the moment, devotees in the Western countries are being attracted by Krishna consciousness and becoming uninterested in materialistic activities. And therefore, people are trying to oppose this movement. But they cannot possibly check this movement or stop the activities of the devotees in Europe and America by their artificial impositions. Here, the words Shrotranjalir Upashprishya indicate that simply by hearing the transcendental activities of the Lord, the devotees become so pure that they are immediately immune to the contamination of materialistic fruitive activities. Anya vilashita shunyam. Materialistic activities are unnecessary for the soul, and therefore the devotees are freed from such activities. The devotees are situated in liberation, Brahma Bhujaya Kalpate, and therefore they cannot be called back to their material homes and materialistic activities. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyade Shatarine Deya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda we hear the activities of the Lila Purushottama. Lila Purushottama is the name of Krishna, which refers to his transcendental Lilas, which are so wonderful. He is the Purushottama, means the best of all personalities in performing Lilas. These Lilas are so wonderful because they have two aspects, really. One is just Leela. Leela doesn't need an explanation. Leela means play. Even in this world, when children play, you cannot ask them, Mangala, why? Anyway, Mangala is now no longer a child, but who's it? Bhima. Bhima is our Berlin Bhima. Why are you playing like this? Why are you... And why are you making these noises? You know, there is no reason except for it's a play. Mm. In the same way, the Leela has only the reason that it is giving pleasure to the Lord. That's all. However, simultaneously, the Leela for us gives mercy. Those who are interested in Krishna Katha and the different even deeper subjects regarding this, know that when Krishna, for instance, kills demons, if devotees meditate about this, also demons in the heart will be killed. Yes? There are 21, I believe, if I'm correct, or 21 demons in Braja Leela, and Krishna kills them one after the other. Yesterday, we spoke a little bit about enviousness and also how it appears in the society of spiritualists and how it is absolutely necessary to throw this out. Now, this can be done, for instance, by meditating about how Krishna kills the Kaliya demon. The Kaliya, that is that demonness, that demonische Natur, which especially tries to poison the hearts of devotees. So if you, so that they become doubtful and envious towards each other. It's a Kaliya snake who's really who's responsible for this. Now, by meditating to how Krishna kills Kaliya, that envy is also crushed in the heart. Yes. So many of the Leelas of the Lord have this merciful aspect, as it is said here. Krishna acted in such a way that simply by remembering him, one will be free from all lamentation and unhappiness of material existence. In other words, Prabhupada says, I want to, because it's so unusual that Prabhupada puts a bracket in his translations. In other words, he acted so that all future devotees, by accepting the instructions of Krishna consciousness stated in Bhagavad Gita, could be relieved from the pangs of material existence. Krishna's merciful Leela and Krishna's merciful nature is indeed wonderful. He came here to perform such pastimes and to attract us all back home, back to Godhead. Every morning, the devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement chant two verses in glorification of Krishna. Venom Kvanantam Arvinda Dalaya Taksha, and also the verse starting with Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti. Srila Prabhupada very, very wonderfully introduced that these verses would be sung every morning in our temples to greet Krishna. And I thought today and tomorrow to explain each one of these verses in reference to this particular subject matter, that Krishna mercifully reveals himself. These two verses are taken from a larger work, the Brahma Sanghita, which all in all has 100 chapters, I understand. Only on this planet Earth we only have the 5th chapter of that whole of the Brahma Sanghita, which also was lost for a long, long time. The Brahma Sanghita was composed by Lord Brahma at the beginning of the creation, and it was rediscovered again by a pilgrim in a temple which is now in South India, the Adi Keshava Mandir. This pilgrim was a very extraordinary pilgrim. It was not like a human being who goes for pilgrimage in order to purify himself or herself. No, this pilgrim was no one else than the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is described that after dancing for a long time in ecstasy in the Adi Keshava temple and talking with the devotees there, the Lord went to the temple library and there, in some hidden corner, found this manuscript of the 5th chapter of the Brahma Sanghita. And when he saw it, tears appeared in his eyes. He began to tremble and perspire, and he fell in an ecstatic trance and so on. After that, he exclaimed, he praised this book and said, "There is no scripture equal to the Brahma Sanghita as far as the final spiritual conclusion is concerned. Indeed, that scripture is the supreme..." I must say, this is what Krishna Das Kaviraj says, it's not the words of Mahaprabhu. "Indeed, that scripture..." Krishna Das Kaviraj, the author who described this incident, says, "Indeed, that scripture is the supreme revelation of the glories of Lord Govinda, for it reveals the topmost knowledge about him. Since all conclusions are briefly presented in Brahma Sanghita, it is essential amongst all the Vaishnava literatures." It's essential. Now I think you get a little bit a further understanding why Srila Prabhupada said we should daily chant the Brahma Sanghita, because it's an essential. It's essential. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately copied that manuscript and brought it with him to Jagannath Puri, and all the devotees there copied it. They wanted their own copy. They sat down and copied it. At that time we didn't have the Gutenberg press. Brahma Sanghita, to describe to all of you just very briefly what it's all about. It describes first of all how Brahma was enlightened, both about universal things, that is how the universe is constructed and how it is built up, and also about the spiritual world, where he received an extraordinary vision. He looked right through, almost through the, through the Schlüsselloch, through the keyhole in the spiritual world, and had a glance of the Lord Govinda there. And the Brahma Sanghita really ends with five verses, five very important verses, where Lord Govinda describes to Brahma how he can come step by step to the highest level of Krishna consciousness, and how he can discharge devotional service. So today we would like to go through the text 30 of this fifth chapter. We want to repeat it all together for two reasons. You all are a little tired and it's good if you become active. The second reason is this sound vibration will purify this whole place. Venam kvaram tam aravinda dalaya daksham bhavatam samasitam mudasundarangam kada pakoti kamaniya vishesha shobham govinda mari purusham tamam vajami. I worship Govinda. The primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock's feather, with a figure of beauty, tinged with a hue of blue clouds, in his eunuch loveliness charming millions of cupids.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I will read it again for you, just in contents. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is adept in playing on his flute, with blooming eyes like lotus petals, with head bedecked with peacock feathers, with a figure of beauty tinged with the hue of a blue cloud, and his unique loveliness charming millions of cupids. Can I just have a pen for one moment? I think here. Thank you. I want to make sure that I explain everything here. Eins, zwei, drei, vier, fünf. So, the first point which is here made is, this verse really describes Krishna's extraordinary beauty. As we know from Nectar of Devotion, Krishna has four very extraordinary qualities, one of which is his extraordinary beauty, which is so great that even Krishna becomes bewildered when seeing this beauty. In the Nectar of Devotion, the verse can be found where Krishna in Dwarka finds the reflection of his beauty on the jeweled floor of the palace. No, not floor, in the pillar of a palace. And he looks and he says, this personality is so attractive, I want to embrace him. He does not realize it's him. He's bewildered by the beauty. Have you ever seen something or someone very beautiful? The brahmacharis are shy, I think, to admit, and they don't need to answer this. But, I don't... we don't even know... nature can be sometimes so beautiful. Nishinganda is not here. Gogopal, you remember when we were sometimes driving together and coming, I remember we were once driving from Ljubljana to Novogorico, or Gorica, no, not Novogorica, Gorica, at the Italian border, Novogorica, or something, yes. And then the sun was setting in the horizon and it had a duel with the clouds and with the mountain. No artist could ever have produced such a piece of beauty. It was so beautiful that we always thought, well, a little bit more and then Krishna will reveal his universal form. It's intolerably beautiful. Sometimes we saw also in one night in Skopje. We had this wonderful not near Skopje, with T. What is the town near Skopje with T? Yes, Tito Villa. Say? Yes, that town, we were there, and there were only gypsies there, is it? Albanskis. And the program was very tough, because they can't control their mind and senses at all. It was very noisy, and it was really, we had to make our mind the laser mind, you know, to give the program. And I remember afterwards, we were very exhausted. There's so much mental energy. And then we went to Skopje and we drove in the night. And all of a sudden, nature displayed itself, gave us such a beautiful... The night sky, I don't know how it was possible, turned red and stars began to shimmer. It was an unearthly vision of beauty. It was so good. We just stopped the car and we just looked. And chanted Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, remembering that everything beautiful comes from only a little spark of Krishna's beauty. So, or if sometimes it is described in Krishna's Leela, when Rukmini was so beautifully decorated and left the palace, the princes fell from their elephants. That must have been highly painful. And horses, when they looked at her, so beautiful. So Krishna is more beautiful than anything you can really imagine. And we will hear a little bit how this is so in this verse. First of all, Krishna's flute playing is very, very amazing. This quality is called by Rupa Goswami Venu Madhurya. It means an especially sweet flute playing. That's the first description which is made here. And I would like to read to you one verse from the 10th canto where one gopi tells Mother Yashoda about Krishna's extraordinary flute playing. She says, when your son plays on his flute, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma and Indra, although they are supposed to be the greatest learned scholars and personalities, all become bewildered, totally confused like a young bhakta. Although they are all very great personalities, by hearing the sound of Krishna's flute, they humbly bow down and become grave from studying the sound vibration. Yes, Gula. Become very grave because it's so intricate and complicated. Just like when you appreciate a beautiful piece of art, you become just very grave and deeply touched. In Vidagdha Madhava, Rupa Goswami describes something more about the sound vibration of Krishna's flute, how it bewilders. The sound vibration created by the flute of Krishna wonderfully stopped Lord Shiva from playing his dindima drum. This is extraordinary. When Shiva plays his dindima drum, it's a little two-sided drum, and you go like this, and it goes like... And then he starts to dance, and when he really gets into it, he dances so much that his hair flies all over the universe, and in it the planets become entangled, and in this way he dances his dance of destruction. So Shiva, when he gets into dancing, he doesn't stop. Therefore he is called Natavara. And actually when he gets into it, no one can stop him, only Krishna's flute. When he hears that, he gets into this fit of ecstasy. And he hears the flute and then he just cannot move any longer. And the same flute has caused great sages like the four Kumaras to become disturbed in their meditation. They are never disturbed, but they become disturbed when they hear this. It has caused Lord Brahma, who was sitting on the lotus flower for creative function, to become astonished. And Ananta Deva, who was calmly holding all the planets on his hood, was swaying in this way and that way due to the transcendental vibration from Krishna's flute, which penetrated through the covering of this universe and reached to the spiritual sky. In the Sharanagati magazine, there is a verse or a poem where it is described how Lord Ananta Deva begins to shake with his head, sway with his head, and where a worry is expressed. What will now happen with the planets? This worry is expressed in this poem. It is described further. When Krishna plays his flute, the moving things become still, like rivers. Water becomes stony, that means changes its molecular structure, so on. This is sometimes problematic when little birds are drinking in the water and all of a sudden the flute comes. Then what happens is they can't pull their beak any longer out of the water. But it is not a disturbance for them, because they also hear the flute of Krishna. It is described that moving living entities become still. So the birds don't really want to take out their beak out of the water because they become still. So there's no problem created with Krishna's flute, only good effects. It is described, even the greedy little deers who drink from their mothers stop drinking and the milk runs down their mouth. The mothers, when they hear it, the food falls out of their mouth and they just listen. In other words, unmoving things, moving things stop and unmoving things begin to move. This is what Krishna's flute, everything turns around. It's a mesmerizing effect. The next quality of Krishna is his wonderful blooming eyes, like lotus petals. Krishna has lotus eyes. They're very, very large. When we all looked at Lord Nityananda, who so kindly appeared in our midst in the form of a diorama, we can say, we saw, did you notice how big his lotus eyes were? And this is very characteristic also for all the divine personalities. They have lotus eyes called Padma Lochan or Kamala Akshana, and so on. These lotus eyes of Krishna are especially attractive because of their glances. Krishna sometimes, when Krishna looks, he looks from the side of his eyes. His lotus eyes, it is described, are always dancing a dance. And then he moves them to the side and looks from the side at his devotees in a very loving way. There are many prayers in our Vaishnava tradition where the devotees pray that, my dear Lord, may you shower me with your merciful sidelong glance. We don't want to imitate this because this would be sacrilegious, this is Krishna's extraordinary thing. There is a verse by Bilva Mangala Thakur about the lotus feet, lotus eyes, which appears in the Nectar of Devotion, and he says like this: I'm eagerly waiting to see that boy of Vrindavan whose bodily beauty is captivating the whole universe, whose eyes are always bounded by black eyebrows, and expanded like lotus petals, and who is always eagerly glancing over his devotees and therefore moving slightly here and there. His eyes are always moist, also feuchte Augen. His lips are colored like copper, and through those lips there comes a sound vibration which drives one madder than a mad elephant. I want so much to see him at Vrindavan. Now the wonderful thing about Krishna's eyes is that Krishna's eyes give our eyes the power to see. Did you know? Jiva Goswami, who quotes from the Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad, Pranasya Pranam Utashakshusas Chakshu. The power of the living force present in the individual living entity is manifested from the living force of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Do you have life force in you, Chandrika? Du verstehst nicht so gut Englisch. Du warst, Do you have life force within you, Radha?
Little.
Little. That life force comes from the soul. As much as we are developed in spiritual life, the more the life force comes through. Gadarha will give us soon an example of this. That soul comes from Krishna. Just like a spark derives its power of shining from the big fire in which it dances, so also we derive our life force from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I think that's a clear point. Now, the verse explains further, and the powers of the eyes and other senses are similarly manifested from the eyes and senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the deepest philosophical explanation why the living entity is really meant to satisfy the senses of Krishna. The power of our senses to see, to taste something, to hear something comes from the Supreme Lord. If we please the Supreme Lord with this, we are connected to him through yoga. But if we do not please him with our power of the eyes and the mouth, then we are disconnected. Prabhupada makes a verse which I want to makes a statement about this, about the enlightened devotee. And there he says something which at first you will find totally shocking. I mean, I will. I think this statement will really go. You will think about it, and maybe you will discuss it when you are in the Grihastha ashram later. It is described there that all the senses are meant to serve Krishna. Then Prabhupada talks about the tongue, the ears, the genital. Then he goes on explaining other senses. And I was first thinking, Hare Krishna, I mean, early in the morning, you know, to read this word, it's very unusual. Very unusual to use this part in the service of Krishna. But yes, every sense derives its force from the Supreme Lord. However, if we use it selfishly for material enjoyment, we do get entangled in the Maya Shakti of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But if we use every sense in the service of the Lord, we are connected with him. Do you understand the philosophy behind it? Because it is Krishna's force, ultimately, which works. The force comes from Krishna. Every sense, no exception. Of course, in the Brahmachari and Sannyas and Vanaprastha ashram, we can't do this. We can't use a certain sense, one sense, in the service of Krishna. Anyways, this is something to think.
think about. So, Krishna. Then it is described that Krishna has a peacock feather always. The peacock feather is given to him by the peacocks of Vrindavan, who are Krishna's dancing teachers. Krishna learns the dancing from the peacocks. And sometimes Krishna dances with his teachers and with the peacocks, and they become so pleased, the peacocks, that they want to give something to Krishna. It's very natural after an artistic performance. Like you saw yesterday when we had the little Radhadesh band in action, kicking, you were really expert. Then immediately one wanted to give them something. Isn't it? That's a natural thing. I personally only had a garland, you know, I couldn't give them a shirt or something, everything was too big for them. So had everyone a little bit of the garland, you know, because this is a natural, when after an artistic performance, you naturally want to reward the artist. It's the most natural feeling of an art lover to do this. So the peacocks are art lovers, and when they see Krishna, they become so totally overwhelmed and charmed by his dancing style that they want to give him something. They don't know what to give him. I mean, what do we have here? And then they give the most valuable thing. They take a peacock feather out of themselves and give it to them. Here, you dance good. And Krishna becomes so charmed by this presence. They give something from their own bodies, really, that Krishna puts it to a very valuable place. When you get a gift, a present, which is very, you can see the Vedic culture in all of this, which is very valuable, what do you do with it? You first put it to the head, isn't it? Because it's the most valuable place you have. Eyes are there, ears are there, nose are there, the tongue is there. What would you do without your tongue at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? Nita Gunamani, no feast without the tongue. It's very valuable. If you think about it, it's extremely valuable to experience the joys of life. Krishna takes the peacock feather also to the head and puts it in his hair, or if he has a turban, he puts it in the turban, because he values this reward of his dancing very much. And he always has a peacock feather. Always. Never gives it up. Yes. So, that's the peacock feather, Hare Krishna. Now we will hear, he has a figure of beauty tinged with a hue of blue clouds. Krishna's body is blue, like a blue cloud, which is enlightened by a flashlight. Imagine a blue cloud, and in it a flash goes. Then the cloud begins to shine. Although it is very dark, it simultaneously shines. So in the same way, Krishna's black is different from the black of the of this world. Prabhupada said, blackish color is a little ugly. Because it's you can't see so much. You know, it's not so much light. Black is a color more in the mode of ignorance. You can see also it is used by very much as fashionable colors by people who are very much plagued by the mode of ignorance, like the grooftees and for the grooftees, who else? Punkies. Sometimes when people are sad, overwhelmed with the bodily concept of life, they dress in black, you know, at a time of great lamentation, and so on. Yeah. I know devotees, when they get black in their minds, they want to dress black. it is there. So you will be very much amazed. Colors do infect the consciousness, and the consciousness also is having colorful qualities. Do you know why we wear saffron as brahmacharis and sannyasis? This is not really saffron any longer, but I think this is maybe saffron. Do you know why? For those who live in celibacy, this color is very invigorating. It gives you energy to do a lot of service, to renounce, and so on and so forth. But if you are a grihastha who is not in the vow of celibacy, this color will agitate you. So our grihasthas should avoid saffron, because they will be agitated. Brahmacharis should dress in saffron, because they will get strength, and they will get invigorated and enlivened. Very scientific. So Krishna's color is a black, but not the black of this world, not the tamasic black. Krishna's color is light, full of light, although it's black. It's difficult for us to imagine, but it is. Krishna is also like a black, like a tamal tree. In Vrindavan you can see these trees. In the Nectar of Devotion there's the following comment, which is spoken by one of Srimati Radharani's good friends after she observed Krishna walking through the forest of Vrindavan. That friend said, "My dear friend, do you think that this walking personality is a tamal tree?" If he is a tamal tree, then how is it possible for him to walk and be so beautiful? It can't be a tree. Then this personality might be a cloud. But if he is a cloud, then where is the beautiful moon within? In other words, it's shining. And we don't see the moon inside this cloud. It's very... Under the circumstances, I think it may be granted that this person is the same enchanting personality of Godhead, by whose flute vibration the three worlds are captivated. It must be him. He must be the same Mukunda who's standing before Govardhan Hill. So finally, because it might now become difficult for devotees to remain concentrated on these different nectarian things, explanations, it is described how Krishna, can't really hope I can find it for you, how Krishna is so very charming, more charming than many millions of Cupids. You must know that Cupid has three powerful arrows. Five powerful arrows, which at least I know four devotees in this crowd are shot by these arrows at the present moment. They stick out of the heart. It looks really interesting if you have eyes to see that. They are not visible, only to experts in the art of subtle vision or remote viewing. Remote viewing. It's something very interesting. It can be trained, but you have to learn to look from the side at people, where you see more. But this is something which comes from previous lives. It's a mystical, something a little mystical, and one can see it. Also, good brahmacharis can see it immediately. I don't have the first quality, and I maybe. I don't have any quality, but one, it can be seen. Let me describe to you why Cupid is so powerful. What are his arrows? I'm sorry, I don't fear. The first arrow of Cupid is called Mohana. It's called fascination. We have one Vraj Mohan. Vraj Mohan is the name of Krishna, who fascinates all of Vrindavan. So the first arrow is fascinated. It happens when you fall in, have a fallout, if you fall head over heels, as they say in America, with someone, you become fascinated. This person has only good qualities. The next is stambana, attention or stupefaction. I don't know this. I've written some word, English word, down, but I don't think it's the right word. Attention is good enough. Sometimes devotees know this. They sit in a room, and all of a sudden, they seem to know so-and-so Devidasi is coming, or so-and-so Das is coming. The attention is magically grabbed. You can already recognize the way the bones of that person's knock, you know, it must be that person. And it's mystical. This attention is very, very mystical. If you want to make an experiment, you can make an experiment on the autobahn. There is where it works best. If you drive next to another car and you look at a Mataji, if you are a man of Matajis, it works also for Matajis, say look at a man, then all of a sudden, although you're driving 220 kilometers, no, most of you don't drive that way, but let us say 160, it's very fast actually, and the wind is in between and everyone, so much stress on the autobahn, but it works. All of a sudden, the person looks at you right in your eyes. That is very deep already. Do you believe me? Have you made this experiment? No. You were reading when you are driving. Matajis know this experiment? Ishwari, you have not made this experiment as of yet. Try it for experimenting. It works, really. It is mystical attention. Now, this is a, when it comes, this is an innocent experiment. But it becomes, when Cupid really uses this arrow, I won't point at any one of you because you will get shocked. And one becomes so attentive. Then one can say, so and so is in my mind and in my eyes and in my heart and in my brain. You know, it's attention. The next arrow is called unmada. It means intoxication. You lose your good sense when you are getting intoxicated. You may find the most ugly person, the most beautiful person in the universe. Like we, Bharat Maharaj gives an example of this when he lost, when he searches after his deer. He says, "Oh moon, have you given shelter to my deer? I think I see it there." In other words, he sees a dark spot on the moon and thinks, my deer is there. "Oh earth, I see your trees and grasses just like hairs which come up in ecstasy. You have been touched by the lotus feet of my little deer." You know, he's totally intoxicated. He loses the sense what's wrong and what's right. Then Shoshana, intense attraction. And then finally, this is interesting, the fifth arrow is called Tapana. This word reminds you of something? Tapa, austerity. By austerity, if you do austerity, you can become very powerful and a fire is created in you. That's why great saints, when they have this fire, it's also in the eyes, and then they
curse someone, it becomes true. It's a tejas, it's called an energy, a certain energy. Now, that has also a minus side, this energy. When you are very much in love, you also get a lot of energy, which burns you, which you are inflamed. It puts you in flames. In German we say, er ist entbrannt. It's a correct word. You know, by this love or affection, one gets almost supernatural powers. One goes through the night to meet his beloved and eat bread with her and marmalade or whatever one does. One goes through many kilometers and is able to do many stupid things because one is burning inside. So these are the five arrows of Cupid, which work also in this world. From your laughing, I see that some of you have a little experience of these arrows. Krishna. First is, let me summarize it for the note takers, who Mohana, fascination, Stambana, attention, Unmada, intoxication, Shoshana, intense attraction, and Tapana, burning. Yes. So, therefore, the God of love is so powerful. It can get the best one shaking if he can. So Krishna was once challenged by the God of by Cupid for a battle. He said, I want to see who's stronger, said the Cupid. I have finished everyone in the world. No one. I even managed the Shiva for a little time. No one can escape me. Brahma, I finished Brahma. Brahma ran after his own daughter, the creator. I'm most powerful, I'm much more powerful than you, Krishna. I challenge you for a battle. Yes, said Krishna. What would be the conditions? Should I fight with you from a fort or in an open battle in the open ground? Cupid was not prepared for this question. And he thought, maybe he's some extraordinary personality. And he first had to understand what Krishna meant. And then he said, in an open battle. Because in a fort, I can easily finish you. All the yogis go in the fort and close the gates of their senses by austerity. And they just need to make bing, and they are finished. Like I did with Vishwamitra, who sat down and he closed his eyes to not see any member of the opposite sex. And then just Menaka needed to be sent by. And he just had little cling, 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 cling on the cling, cling means bells on the foot, and he was finished. You stand no chance. Let us give you a little bit more chance. He was very arrogant. Open battle, I want. Okay, said Krishna, then come when it's the best time in the year to dance. Come at the Sharad Purnima, that is one specific full moon night in the months of autumn. Then the whole area of Braj is very beautifully lighted. It's a beautiful light. Those of you us who were there in this time and who saw this full moon, it's totally charming. The time it's now is also a beautiful full moon. It's a preparation full moon. He's already practicing for Gopunim. That will be a very, very good full moon. At the springtime, it's the most attractive full moon, which appears. You will be able to see that on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, how he comes, even when the sun is still a little visible. It's very wonderful. Spectacle, that particular moon. Please look at him and remember Lord Chaitanya. But also Nityananda's appearance day, he is coming, because Nitai is so wonderful, as millions of moons. Therefore he also comes and gives a little appearance. Yes, that's me here. So, yes, come at that time, and I will dance with billions of the most beautiful damsels and gopis of the world. Then you can come. Oh, really? Said Cupid. Then you have no chance. You say you are together with the gopis and you dance with all of them? Yes, come. Let's describe. This is one of the plays which you can see in Vrindavan very often. The Vrijbasis love this play. And I think we should all come to love this Leela also. Then he comes. He's dressed all in flowers, Cupid. This is how it is depicted in the theater. And then he has his five arrows. They are all flower arrows. And then he tries to aim these arrows of Krishna. And the way the Vrijbasis play it is, then they have it like this, and then the arrow plink falls on the ground, and he faints. And he tries with all his five arrows, and he always faints. He cannot shoot them, because Krishna is so beautiful that he knows these arrows have not... I mean, Krishna is so beautiful, so fantastically beautiful, that he is the emblem of beauty. He is the one who attracts everyone. There's nothing which can attract him. Prabhupada gave the example of a conditor. A conditor who produces so many sweets. He can have all the sweets because they all can come from him. He loses his attraction for sweets. When he goes near a sweet shop of a different person, he doesn't stand like us before the sweet shop with a nose on the windows. Sweets. I'm sorry, we are not doing this any longer. I mean, like a little child, you know, who's, you, and on the windows of the sweet shops, you find the impressions of the noses of the little children. Mommy, sweets. You know, okay. You know, the conditor is not attracted to the other sweets. He produces an unlimited amount of sweets. So in the same way, Krishna is the all-attractive one. This you must preach to the sweeties of America. There's this young generation who are called sweeties. They dress also in special ways.
They're like skateboarders.
Skateboarders and so on. Yes, the sweeties. You must explain to them at this point. And this is also, why is this Leela so much loved? It is loved because everyone knows we all have a possibility to become attracted to mundane beauty. And then we want to possess that either beautiful thing or beautiful person and so on. And we become entangled. However, if we become attracted to the all-attractive one, to Madan Mohan, that is, he who attracts Mohan, the god of love, that's the name of Krishna also. If we become attracted to Madan Mohan, then our happy spiritual life starts. You will be very interested, those of you who like philosophy, will be very interested to know that there are three important philosophical areas to be learned in Krishna consciousness. Sambandha Tattva, that is our relationship with the Lord. Avideya, that is how we can serve the Lord, or act in our relationship. And Prayojana, that is the highest goal, love of Godhead. So there are also deities for each of these areas. And the Sambandha deity is Madan Mohan, because he attracts us to Krishna. If you want to become attracted to Krishna, don't become attracted to Cupid, because Cupid is his Gegenspieler in this world. his opponent. He acts as an opponent, as this Leela shows. Cupid thought he could finish Krishna. He wanted to finish Krishna. If a devotee must cultivate spiritual attractions to lose his physical attractions, which manifest on all the sensual platforms. Food is a sense object, smell, vision, and the beauty of this world. We must become attracted, otherwise Cupid will sometimes shoot, and we are fascinated. Even big sannyasis, fascination, leave me alone. Once, and I want to end with this little leaf, I told it last Vyasapuja in one of the lectures. Once the great sage Jaimini asked his spiritual master Vyasadeva, how long does attraction to the opposite sex continue? And Vyasadeva said, very long. It can also continue when one is already renounced. Brahmacharya Sannyasa Ashram. But, said Jaimini, I think I have. Vyasadeva went on a journey. He stopped his teaching for a while and did a journey like he often did. So one evening, Jaimini went home to his little ashram, and there he saw a wonderful but also amazing vision. Underneath a tree, he saw a saintly lady, very saintly, dressed in the garments of renunciation. And in other words, she was a celibate. Saint, a female saint, a woman saint. And Jaimini, it was becoming dark and he felt concerned. This was an area in the jungle, so he went to her and said, oh, I've never seen you here. Where are you resting this night, if I may ask? She said, I don't know. I'm on a pilgrimage and I was surprised that it became dark. I must tell you, when in India it becomes dark, you better find your place to stay, because it's not like in the West where there are street lanterns and houses. I know stories like in Vrindavan, when it gets dark, it's at 6 o'clock, you have to really run to get to your destination. I remember 3 years ago, it became dark, but I was so much in the chanting, I thought, let me chant one more round here. And it became darker and darker, and all of a sudden it was dark. It was in Kamyavan. And then I had to go home. And it was the most... Oh, it was frightening, because there were so many wild dogs, woof woof. And one time I just ran against a buffalo, who was sleeping already, and he became nervous. He thought, maybe I'm a tiger or something. Tigers are not in existence, but something unpleasant. And he became wild at me, and I said, no. And then I stumbled into I had to walk over a field, at least that's what I felt. My sense of direction told me that. Stumbled into something and then into a thorn. Oh, it's a traumatic this night. And to stay out is also not good, because of these wild dogs. They are hungry. You don't know what they do. night. But I'm sorry. I became the remembrance of Vrindavan. What was it? Please help me.
Jaimini, thank you. So he said, well, you have no place to sleep, then come in my ashram. You can sleep in my ashram.
Is it an ashram with disciples or an ashram without disciples? I'm staying alone. No, then I can't go. If there would be other males, I would go, but then I can't go. What would people say? Oh, no problem, really no problem, said Jaimini. If you think about this, no problem. I'm known as a very renounced person. It's all right, you can come, they know me here. And for me, you know, Jaimini, my name is Jaimini, by the way. And then she said, all right, I'm coming. So Jaimini had a little cottage and gave her the cottage. You know, as a culture gentleman, you obviously give your guest and a lady the cottage, and he slept outside. But rain started to come, but this heavy, diese Fieselregen, this heavy rain, which is not warm, it's cold, and you know, you get a cold when you are too long in it, and he became totally wet. And then he said, should I ask or should I not ask? I mean, Jaimini, it's so ridiculous to become attracted to bones and flesh and fat and so on and so forth. It's not a problem for me. He knocked at the door and said, may I come in? Oh, said, I think this goes a little bit too far. I will stay outside, she said. No, come on. I am not seeing any longer with the eyes of duality. Don't you know our scriptures? And he was getting worried. So, anyways, so she said, all right, come. So she slept on one side, and he slept on the other side. So all of a sudden, he woke up in the grill of attraction. It began to grill him. And it seemed that hot waves of attraction was coming from her. All of a sudden, his heart melted, you know, fire and butter. And he thought, well, after all, you know, it's a good night. Maybe another saint wants to take birth, you know. And he just rolled over to her and was lying, all of a sudden found himself lying on, who was it? His hand went to her hair. Her head and went over the face, and she had a bird. And all the attraction was gone, and instead a very funny feeling overwhelmed him, and he immediately jumped up, made the light, and there he saw Vyasadeva, his spiritual master. Can you imagine the embarrassment? I think it's not possible to imagine the amount of embarrassment. He must have felt like sinking in the ground 2,000 miles near to the nucleus of the earth and burning in that volcanic fire of the nucleus of the earth. This must have been his desire at that moment. So this is and Vyasadeva just smiled and said, believe the words of your spiritual master. So if you want to escape the attractions of material life, these five arrows which can slaughter the best of us, you need to improve your attraction to Krishna. Again, I want to say, because we live in the times, they are changing, and many devotees feel the need to enter the Grihastha ashram. Also in the Grihastha ashram, this is not against the Grihastha ashram. If we become overwhelmed with lusty emotions and feelings, our spiritual life is not possible. It's not possible. And I have there are very nice Grihasthas who have confidentially informed me that Sachinandan Swami, please also preach in such a way that the Grihasthas understand this point, because we are even in a more dangerous position Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur once said, the Grihastha Ashram, it is for very qualified devotees. It's not for unqualified devotees. In sannyas and brahmachari, he said, it's easier to deal with this attraction force. Why? Because it's basically out of sight and out of, you know, it's not so much there, the opposite sex, or brahmacharinis. We keep a healthy distance to protect us against this strong force of maya, of illusory attraction. But in the Grihastha Ashram, it's like the example of Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is like a cake right before your eyes. Schwarzwälder Kirschtorte, which is most probably the best cake in existence, you know. And you can't eat it. There are the four rules and regulations in Grihastha Ashram. To conceive a child is a totally different thing than sex, than just animalistic sex life. It is a project. You need to chant many rounds. You need to observe things which are necessary in order to make a good child. And then afterwards, you have to finance the whole project. It's a really costly project. How much does a child consume? How much money in his life? Easily $500,000 you have to collect for this project. Easily. I mean, we counting from the time of birth. No, we count from the time of in the womb. You have to get, special cloth and so on and so forth. Then baby cloth is really expensive nowadays. Really expensive. Best to get it second hand. It's so expensive. But also that costs money. And then, to bring him to school, how much he eats. Then insurance. Then he gets sick. Then he needs a journey. Then holidays. And then he turns against you when he gets into puberty or you lose him. So it's quite an intense project. $500,000 is nothing for this. And then all the worries and anxieties. But if you take it on for Krishna, to make him a devotee, this becomes a very good thing. This becomes a very nice project. In other words, Grihastha Ashram, this is my point here. It's not a step down. If you do keep it as an ashram, and make it something very, very responsible. And if you make this Grihastha Ashram very irresponsibly, then it will become the material hell. If you are not prepared to take responsibility like this, better don't marry. It's easier. And you don't need to collect so much. I don't know, I think $500,000 is not a... Very good. And here?
Until the child is 18.
Yeah, here comes the number. until the child is 18, and that's how up to that time you're responsible, $1.2 million.
Das 1,000 im Monat kostet jetzt im Jahr 12.000 mal 20.
346.000. Wie viel? 336.000. Ja? Maybe when you have a very expensive child. Like there are different horses. One horse you can buy for 2,000 marks, another horse costs easily 20 million marks. This is a Mittelwert. For instance, when your child is very sick, well, there are insurances today. That is not a problem. I can imagine that there are very expensive children also. I mean, I was expensive. No, really not. I was not so expensive. I want to tell the truth, but... Okay, so 336,000. German calculation. You have informed yourself? Josh Hallem! I'm joking. I think it's good to inform oneself. You know, we have to be open-minded for all these things. But the mental energy, of course, when you do it in a Krishna-conscious way, it can become also very nice. Your child becomes a devotee. Then you see your child one day at the initiation fire. Like Madhu Mangal told me, I'm just living for this movement until my Nitai gets initiated. And his eyes became red. I'm just living for this day. I think it's nice. Nice, responsible, grihastha life. So this is a life of responsibility. Anyways, let us go back. But if you don't take it in a responsible way, it can be very, very, very. It can hurt you so much. It can. People divorce now. In ISKCON also this divorce thing happens more and more and more, because in Kali Yuga this responsibility for spiritual life goes down and down, as we hear, when the members of the human community become more lazy for spiritual life and more distracted even. So Hare Krishna. This was the verse Venum Kvanantam Aravinda Dalaya Daksham. Tomorrow the verse will be much more philosophically. This was a Leela verse more. It will be text 32, Angani Yasya Se Kalendriya, because after Brahma has spoken four verses about the transcendental form and pastimes of the Lord, he feels the need to establish the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and explain how Krishna is really totally transcendental and beyond this world. And the way he explains it is so wonderful and so breathtaking. Because he will talk about one quality of Krishna, which is truly amazing. But this will be a surprise for tomorrow. I want to end here, and I almost feel we should not take any questions. Yes, let us end here without taking questions, because we have a festival starting at 11 o'clock, and we want to be punctual. Please, everyone, be punctual, and please, everyone, be highly disciplined. It would be so bad if the end of the festival is that the Karuna Bhavan breaks because all of us are running. And please, when we have kirtans or bhajan, we can dance in ecstasy, but only in the heart. This you can practice today. Please don't then, and please do this, and when you see others who forget it, which is quite natural, then please mildly tell the others and move very, very slowly up, that nothing gets we are so many. Ooh, Krishna, pray to Krishna that he expands the space, and behave really. And after all, it's a temple for Radha Kunya Vihari, and we are entering into a temple atmosphere, so please, please do this. Your shoes, I want to announce this, also the technical things, you have to leave. There is a shoe service, like in our Indian temples, where you get a number for your shoe, you give it, we have a shoe. We have devotees who want to get the mercy by serving the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, who will take care of the shoe situation. And please please do what everyone tells us, especially Guru Shiromani has planned a lot, and Narayani also. These two we have to follow, absolutely. Good. Also, two professors will come and give speeches. festivities. They can serve rather the Lord in such a way, so let them come. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonikaya ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Om.
Divine Prayer, Srila Sachin.